world of college football is just waiting to erupt. Now, the Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff on 1010XL. Stay cooler with Buehler. Brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68. Here are your hosts, Matt Hayes and Terry Norvell.
Into the Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff, brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, where it's all college football all the time. I'm Matt Hayes, he's Terry Norvell. We're talking all things college ball, leading into the coverage of, yes, people, the Iron Bowl at 3 p.m. And, of course, LSU and Texas A&M at 6:30 p.m. here on 1010XL. That's 92.5 on the FM, 1010 on the AM. Two games, back-to-back games for you. Huh? After the best 2 hours in college sports in the city of Jacksonville, huh? All right, if you want to get involved, jump on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures, 904-641-1010. We'll have our weekly pick segment at the end of the show. And producer Rob, who's right now just pumping out some Mammoth WVH, which is good. Good for you, Rob. We'll take the fourth call at the end of this first segment to come on live at the end of the show. At the end of the show, coming on live and pick against us with a chance to win a sweet Sonny's swag bag, and you guys are 0 for the season, just by the way. All right, we've got Mike Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Dog Bites, our SEC insider at 11:40 to break down today's games. We've got our Gators All-American safety and Sonny's Pitmaster Barbecue extraordinaire Shannon Snell in the second hour to talk all things Gators. And it's rivalry week, everyone. It's the best week of the season with some critical games impacting the race for the playoff. Among them, Michigan at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are at home, have all the momentum. Michigan, oh, by the way, has the one player who can change everything.
Yeah.
Quarterback J.J. McCarthy. South Carolina's at Clemson. Now's as good a time as any for the Gamecocks to snap that seven-game losing streak, especially after their performance last week against Tennessee. Louisville's at Kentucky. Another big contract extension for Mark Stoops. Despite the regression this season, now the Cats get a surging bitter, and I mean bitter, rival in Louisville. Of course, we got the Iron Bowl right here on 1010XL at 3:30. Pre-game at 3. Can the Tigers win and force Auburn to hire interim coach and beloved former star player Cadillac Williams permanently? You got Purdue at Indiana, and you can't even imagine why I'm saying Purdue at Indiana. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Because Purdue can win and That's reach its terrible. First Big Ten championship game or lose, and Illinois is the Big Ten West champion if it beats Northwestern. You got Oregon at Oregon State, and Oregon needs to win that game to play in the Pac-12 championship game. You got Michigan State at Penn State, and I just said that only because Rob's a Penn State fan.
Go State.
Of course, LSU at Texas A&M right here on 1010XL on 92.5. And we round out the night, Notre Dame at USC. Trojans are getting hot at the right time, can sneak into the playoff with a win here and another next week in the Pac-12 championship game. What a week, T-Mac.
And how could anybody possibly be Debbie Downer after that great open? But I'm going to be Debbie Downer.
All right, let's hear it.
It's a sad day. Today is a sad day, and if you are a real diehard college football fan, you know what I'm talking about. Today is the final day of the regular season.
Dang it, guys.
Sad day. Flies by.
You can't look at it like that. That's
it's
such
sad.
A negative
I was
way
crying
to
driving
it.
In, man.
This can't
crying
be our last show, fellas. This can't be the last one.
You've got it. You've
Where
got
did it go, Matt? Where did it go?
First off, you still got full bowl season ahead of you. Okay.
Championship Saturday.
Then you've got recruiting, which is, you know, crazy. Yeah. Crazy time. Then you got spring practice.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you'll go through a couple of controversies, you know, like Jimbo and Nick, and it'll be media days. And then you're weeks away from starting again.
By the way, of all those games you set up, and this team needs to win to do this, and this team can get in next week's championship game with that, what about that beautiful performance by Iowa the other day? What was that? With everything on the line and all, what about that?
At home against a team that's won three games, all they got to do is win and they get to the Big Ten championship game and they do what they've done all year. They can't score points, and then Nebraska wins. They're fired up. They hired Matt Rhule an hour ago, by the way.
Yeah. Great.
Matt
Rhule
was hired an hour ago. It's official at Nebraska. And oh, by the way, my buddy Chris Lowe at ESPN is reporting also about an hour ago that Lane Kiffin has told Ole Miss he is staying.
Nice.
He is staying.
Nice.
So he is not going
Nice. So he was true to his word.
Hugh Freeze is attached to the Auburn job.
Yeah. That
My
that
guess
came
is
out
Hugh long. Freeze is probably the guy they're looking at.
Tip of the hat to the Fox pregame show. What is it? Big Noon. They have Urban Meyer's on set, obviously. He was just presented with this massive gold chain, and the pendant was 7-0. He's 7-0 against.
Right.
He was 7-0 against the hated Michigan Wolverines. And then Charles Woodson got presented with the same type pendant, 3-0, because I guess he was 3-0 against Ohio State.
Right,
that was good theater. Good theater.
Did they give Herb like a 2-0 for being 2-0 against the NCAA at Florida and Ohio State?
No, didn't do that.
Huh? Okay.
Didn't do that.
All right, it's time to run out of the tunnel.
Now let's run out of the tunnel. Brought to you by Cannons of Jacksonville, your best shot for trailer hitches.
All right, Out of the Tunnel is brought to you by our good friends at Cannons of Jacks, family-owned and operated towing and custom welding business serving Jack since 1950. You need a trailer hitch installation or top-quality towing products like gooseneck hitches, fifth-wheel hitches, weight distributing, and tow bars, all at wholesale prices. Go see Cannons of Jacks or call them at 904-733-3524. Now, typically, this is where I begin our Out of the Tunnel with my narrative, but I think I'm going to let, you know what? I'm going to let Billy Napier start, and then I'll get into it.
It's tough. When you do it the right way and you come up short, it's tough.
It's tough.
Matt, jump in there, please.
It's tough.
What does that mean?
I'm going to circle back to FSU because I think it's been a wonderful time at FSU. They are a 10-win team. I said this 3 weeks ago.
That out. We don't want to bury that. That was a nice win for Florida State.
I said this 3 weeks ago, and I'll say it again. They are a 10-win team. They will beat some middling Big Ten team in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and they will win 10 games. And it's a great season for Mike Norvell because if you asked anyone prior to the season if Florida State was going to win 10 games, they'd say you need your head examined. It's a great, great season by Florida State, and they deserve all the accolades. Now, on to the Gators' autopsy. So, for 12 games, that guy that you just heard say, it's really hard when you do everything right. For 12 games, Billy Napier had a round peg and tried to jam it into a square hole, banging it over and over and over with a hammer, or in this case, a soft little rub on the shoulders and an attaboy attitude. For 12 games, Billy Napier coaches though quarterback Anthony Richardson was the most important player on the team, when all along, the most important players on the team were Trevor Etienne, Montrell Johnson, and Osiris Torrance. The best thing for the future of Florida is for the NFL Draft Advisory Board to give Richardson a first-round grade and he moves to the league. At that point, Napier is free from what if, okay? What if Richardson plays to his potential? What if Richardson begins to see the field better? What if Richardson begins to pull and run more than a handful of times a game? Which, by the way, second play last night when Kenny got in. He pulled and ran for 9. What if Richardson just has basic understanding of quarterback throws and throws that are executed with the fundamentals they demand? Florida ran 13 plays on the last drive of the game against Florida State. 13. A drive that began at its 25, and are you ready for this? And I think this is kind of going to gets overshadowed a little bit. There was 4 minutes on the clock. 4 minutes and 6 seconds on the clock. They ran 13 plays. 4 minutes is an eternity in college football, or any football for that matter. If, that is, you have a staff that understands time management and who its best players are. Of those 13 plays, Johnson touched the ball twice, the first two plays of the drive. 2 runs. Etienne never touched the ball.
Shocking.
2 backup tight ends caught 3 passes. The rest of the drive relied on the arm of Anthony Richardson, the very player that Napier hasn't been able to reach all season long. The very player who, while incredibly talented, has proven all season he can't execute when it matters most. The two players who have proven it, meanwhile, Johnson and Etienne, got a combined 2 punches, two touches. So instead of throwing a screen pass to one of your 2 best players, or throwing a wheel route, or a circle route, or an option route, or for the love of God, line them up outside. Stop interrupting me, both of you. Or for the love of God, line them up outside and run a simple slant instead of trying to throw to 4 backup wide receivers who haven't been ready all season, haven't played all season. You know why? Because they're not ready. So instead, the game plan was to throw to backup wide receivers and backup tight ends and hope Richardson makes a play. Think about that concept, everybody. Instead of giving the ball to Montrell Johnson or Trevor Etienne on a run or a throw, any way possible getting them the ball, the game plan was to throw to two backup wide receivers and backup tight ends and hope the quarterback, who hasn't seen it all year, makes a play. Richardson completed 9 of 27 passes. 9 of 27 passes in the 12th game of the season. His 13th career start. 9 of 27. Look, we can all argue all we want about whether he's a first-round pick or if he'll play quarterback in the NFL. Napier's job is to win games at Florida. And you win games by putting the ball in the hands of your best players. The problems at Florida run much deeper than Anthony Richardson. And they begin with a staff that couldn't motivate and coached poorly. I don't want to hear excuses about what Dan Mullen left anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. Because Brian Kelly walked into the football office at LSU. He had 39 scholarships when he arrived at LSU. 39 scholarship players. 39. Now he's two games away from playing in the playoff. Sonny Dykes took a 5-win team at TCU. He's two games away from reaching the playoff. Lincoln Riley took a 4-win team at USC. He's two games away from reaching the playoff. Billy Napier took a 6-win team at Florida and won 6 games. We're out of the tunnel, T-Mac. What do you see, my brother?
Let me back up last night's game a little bit. Let's go to the second quarter. The second quarter of last night's ball game, Florida's offensive line had taken over the game. They were bludgeoning Florida State in the second quarter, running at will, bludgeoning. Florida had carved out a 3-point lead at the half, and that was after kicking off to start the game. So you're getting the third quarter kickoff. Florida's offensive line took the game over in the second quarter, bludgeoned FSU, 3-point lead, go to halftime, get the opening kickoff. Florida, to start the third quarter, goes 3 consecutive 3-and-outs. Okay, Matt, take it one step further. Of those 9 plays, 3-and-out, 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 8 passes and 1 run. In what universe did the coaching staff in the locker room at halftime get together and say the approach now is, after bludgeoning them to death and taking over the game, let's put the game on the right arm of Anthony Richardson. 8 passes, 1 run, 3 consecutive 3-and-outs. Matt, I've seen it all year. The game plan has been horrific with this coaching staff at Florida.
They had them gassed at the end of the first half.
Gassed. Okay?
That Florida State defense was dead. They come out in the third quarter, and if you go 3 straight 3-and-outs, all you're doing is giving them time to stay on the sidelines, get a little Gatorade, get ready, get a little coaching. You know, if you know what you're doing coaching, and clearly, you know, Florida State does know what they're doing because they've won 10 games, or they will win 10 games, okay? So they know what they're doing. So here's the thing I have. This is the problem that I have, all right? It's that start. Then it's the fourth quarter when, the end of the third, early fourth quarter, when guess what? You're starting to do it again. You're starting to line up, and you're running behind 54, who, oh, by the way, is one of your best players on the team.
You said that.
So you start to run behind 54, great Osiris concept. Torrance, who's going to play 12 years in the NFL. He's going to be a great guard in the NFL, okay? You start running behind this guy again. The previous drive before your last drive, you're one of your three best players, number 7, Trevor Etienne. I don't even care if you know his name. Number 7 is one of your three best players, okay?
Yes.
He runs for 50 in a touchdown.
Untouched.
Runs away from the second level, all right? You know why he ran away from the second level? Because the hole he ran through behind 54 was giant. Giant. Okay? He goes 50. You're now a score down. You kick the ball. Your defense, which is getting crushed all game, gets a stop. They punt it. You get the ball to 25. You got 4 minutes to go. And what do? You throw the ball. You put the game on the arm of Anthony Richardson and backup tight ends and backup wide receivers. And I don't want to hear about Caleb Douglas should have caught the ball at the 5. You know what? Caleb Douglas, he hasn't been a guy they could rely on all year, okay? Understand that, number one. Number two, that was an unbelievably difficult catch.
Yeah.
Double-teamed, in the air, got a high point, got to come down with it. You know who makes that catch? The guy who won the Heisman 2 years ago, sure. Devonta Smith. Sure. So don't get on Douglas for that, all right? You need to get on 3rd and 12 in that drive. 3rd and 12. So there's a couple things here. 3rd and 12, if you realize that you're not that good of a team that is a passing team, you're still struggling, which they have been for 11 games, right?
Sure.
Just get a little, get five or six yards. Then you've got
ground.
A more manageable fourth and 5 or 6, all right? I'm fine with that. Third and 12 comes around. They protect great. Jonathan Odom, Jason Odom's son, how does that make you feel, by the way?
Ooh.
Runs a perfect dig route. Perfect. It's third and 12. He runs 14, turns around. He's wide open. He's pushed the corner at least 5 yards off. He is wide open. Richardson's throw goes 10 feet over his head.
And as you said, he was protected. It wasn't a harass. It was not a harass throw.
Over his head.
Not a harass throw. There was a clean pocket. Right?
10 feet, yeah. T-Mac.
Odom just kind of went like a right fielder watching a home run go over his head.
Oh, by the way, 6'5", literally didn't even try and jump. That's how poorly it was thrown. So all of you who made fun of Richardson last week for the Hail Mary that went into the stands, this one was worse. This one was much worse.
Yeah.
That's a first down. That's a throw that you not only have to make, but that 97% of college quarterbacks make.
Where's he at? The 15-ish, Odom?
He catches it right around the 15-16, somewhere around there.
Spun and got a few more yards.
Yeah, could have easily.
Because the DB's
easily could have spun and got a few more. The point is, you've got to make that throw, man. You have to make that throw. And I don't want to hear about the three touchdowns he made either, because the deep ball was a planned play. It was play action, throw it deep. All right, that's your look. The other one to Odom, the touchdown, also a planned waggle off play action. That's your throw.
Yep.
Now, the throw to Pearsall, the other touchdown, was a beautiful throw.
The same round.
An NFL throw on the skinny post. Perfect, perfect NFL throw, okay? He was 9 of 27. And I don't
was he? Not good.
0 of 11 to open the second half,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, second half.
0 of 11.
So here's the thing, too, and this is what kind of blows my mind is, and we're going to get into this a little bit after, but I want to start this here, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll get into it. You've seen who he is and what he is for 11 games.
Yeah.
I don't care about the 400 yards against Vanderbilt. You lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and you were down double digits most of
it. You know who he is. I don't understand at what some point in this year why he didn't at least just stick Kitten in the game. Stick him in the game for a quarter. Let Richardson sit on the sideline and just watch for a little bit. And the funny thing is, Kitna gets in there last night.
That was humble.
First down, no problem. None of that second play of when he was in. He pulls on the zone read and gets 9.
How about that?
I'm telling you right now, months from now, May, June, Billy Napier's going to admit that he made a mistake, that he didn't play Kitna, that he didn't at least, and not because Kitna's better. I'm not trying to say Kitna's better. That he didn't at least force Anthony to stand on the sideline and say, you're benched. Watch. And the very worst that happens, you have a turnover, you have a couple turnovers, you lose the game. You already got 6 losses anyway.
Sure.
He's on the field. The very best that could happen is, guess what? He pulls in that zone read and throws a slant, and the guy goes 80.
Yeah.
The very best that could happen is he starts completing passes, and your offense starts looking clean, and you run the ball. And all of a sudden, holy crap. This kid who's a 3-star recruit, he's not that bad. That's the whole thing with that. Why didn't you do that at least one time? All right, we need to go to break. Again, fourth caller here. Fourth caller, we get a chance to pick against us live at the end of the show. You got a chance to win a sweet Sonny's swag bag, and we will set you up with that. At this point, I'm just tired of saying you guys are over the season, and I'm tired of saying this place is full of swag bags because I'm kicking them around here. Somebody feel it. Feel it. It's rivalry week, man. It's rivalry week. Pick against us and beat us and get one of these swag bags. All right. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to get deeper into the Florida State debacle. But we're also getting into the game, Michigan-Ohio State. More big rivalry week games. Again, don't forget, after our show at 3 o'clock, we've got the Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl pregame. Then the game at 3:30. Then we've got LSU-Texas A&M following that. Come back on the other side. We'll get deep into it.
The Buehler Air Conditioning Saturday Kickoff, brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue on 1010XL.
All right, we're back on Saturday Kickoff here. Wrapping up hour number one, as we always do, with the man, the legend, Mike Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation, our SEC insider. You read him at Dog Nation. You see him on the SEC Network with Feinbaum.
Here he comes.
Here he comes, people. Double shotgun and everything, baby. He don't care about none of you. None. Just FYI. He cares about the truth. The truth, baby. Griff! Good morning, my man. How are you?
Doing great, man.
Hey, Griff, before we get into the games, you watched the Florida-Florida State game last night. How odd was it to see a team that was dominating in the run game just continue to try and throw the ball?
It was almost like the head coach was trying to convince the quarterback they needed to come back for another year.
Right? But yeah. Why? But why, though? He won six games.
Because I think maybe if Anthony Richardson comes back, he could be like a Heisman Trophy finalist / winner, top five, top ten kind of pick.
This is sarcasm, everybody. This is sarcasm from Griffin.
No, it's not. No, I'm absolutely not. Get the guy some receivers in the portal and get him some coaching. You know, it takes time to build these guys. I believe that. I'm not kidding.
Right.
I think if Anthony Richardson comes back, he could be a top five pick in next year's NFL draft. Now, based on his skill this year, he'd probably still get picked in the first round. It just would be later. But the difference in money between a top five pick and a number 25 pick, and the difference and where your role is and where you're slotted, very different. I hope the guy comes back for another year. I think he needs another year. I think it'd be great for Florida football, get him some receivers. And I think, you know, Florida would maybe be able to contend in these. This year, though, was kind of disappointing. It really was.
All right, so I'm going to say that he's definitely going, and I think he's no more than Taysom Hill in the NFL, if he's that. All right, listen, let's move on. Let's talk about first the Dogs and their preparation for this game. It's a little bit of a surging Georgia Tech team. It's a bitter rivalry. Do they have any problem at all today looking ahead at all to LSU in the championship game?
I don't think it's about looking ahead. I just think it's about trying to, you know, match the intensity every single week of your opponent. And, you know, the stadium's kind of dead. I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's sunny and 60, and, you know, everybody's got reason to be happy. I went to the Vince Dooley Memorial last night. There's a lot of, you know, feel good. But, you know, Tech's fighting for their bowl life. And, you know, they've got a couple top 25 wins on the road at Pitt at North Carolina. And they got a guy that I think they should hire. I don't know why they wouldn't already have hired Brent Key. I mean, this guy, if you ask me what a Georgia Tech coach should look like, this is it. He played there. He's got 3 years coaching under Saban as an offensive line coach. He can recruit. He's already on the staff, so you don't have this, you know, upheaval and roster turnover. And he's beaten two ranked teams as an interim head coach. He's 4-3 since taking over a terrible 1-3 program. He's a Birmingham guy. He played at Tech. He went 3-1 against Georgia. Like, how do you not hire this guy if you're Georgia Tech? This is the most obvious punch in the nose hire I've ever seen, and they haven't hired him yet. But so he's coaching with something on the line in his mind today too.
Hey, Mike, a question about the conference, the SEC, just overall. I think I did these numbers right. I ran them last night. It looks like the East won the head-to-head with the West this year, 8-6. Every team in the East, other than Vanderbilt, has won a game, at least one of their two cross-division rivalries. And it looks like the West has got, obviously, coaching turmoil. I think the East, most of the coaches are set for the next couple of years. Do you see the East kind of, you know, dominating this thing a little bit the next couple of years, which is a switch from about the last, 15 years when the SEC West just dominated the East for a long time?
Yeah, I don't even know if we're going to have an East and West in 2 years. But to your point, I guess it's been a couple of years. I think Dan Mullen's second year, when Dan got hired, he said he thought that the East was going to be able to overtake the West.
Yeah, and it looks like they did.
And they did. So, you know, Dan Mullen saw that one before him. A lot of this is just Georgia. I mean, Georgia's kind of taking over the SEC right now. I mean, Alabama's kind of been shaky this year, you know. Yeah, there's a couple of last-second losses they could have won, but there's also a couple of last-second wins they could have lost. So Alabama's not Alabama. You know, Kiffin is Kiffin, right? I mean, he's a fun little clown act.
Yeah.
But not much more. You know, Leach has kind of reached his ceiling like he does everywhere. Let's see. Jimbo Fisher has been a colossal failure.
Yeah.
That's probably the story of the year. It's just off the rails and off track. You know, Billy Napier ought to send him a thank you note. I mean, gosh, Billy Napier, you know, looks like Bear Bryant compared to Jimbo Fisher. I mean, what a disaster at A&M this year.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And
how does this even happen?
And, you know, Mike, what else helped? Tennessee got two this year. Tennessee got LSU and Bama. So it really swung everything. But it is impressive that everybody other than Vanderbilt got a West win, and Vanderbilt got two conference wins.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, Clark Lee said, you know, last summer that there'd come a day they'd be the best program in the country.
Remember that?
I joke.
Remember that?
Well, And you know what? When they beat Hawaii in the week zero, they were the best
team.
They were
the number one in the nation that week. Yeah.
That weekend, they were the best team in the country. Technically, Clark Lee called a shot. But seriously, I mean, it was a disinterested Gators group. Let's be honest. You know, that wasn't. But still, that's part of it. You know, you still got to wear the law. You can't say, well, I just didn't try. I mean, but obviously Vanderbilt's engaged. It'll be interesting to see. I think Tennessee will beat them soundly today because Tennessee has a very senior-laden group. And I don't think they're going to lose. If they were a younger group that didn't have as much invested, maybe. But that's a senior-laden group. Tennessee's going to win big. And I'm glad you pointed that out. Tennessee's another reason why the East surged this year. Now, can they sustain? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Like, does Anthony Richardson come back? How does Joe Milton do for Tennessee next year? What happens to Kentucky? This was kind of supposed to be their year, and it was somewhat disappointing. A lot of questions. And what does the league look like? Is it one division, or is it still two divisions? Sure. I mean, there's a lot on the table.
So, Griff, clearly we understand how you feel about Lane Kiffin. Let's move on to Hugh Freeze coming back to the SEC at Auburn. I mean, unless Auburn does the unthinkable and beats Alabama, then I don't know how Auburn's going to get away from not hiring Cadillac. But Hugh Freeze comes back to Auburn, had a lot of success at Ole Miss until they started paying players when it was not cool to pay players. What do you think he could do at Auburn with that huge NIL boatload of money they've got?
I mean, obviously, you know, Gus Malzahn was able to beat Alabama. A lot of this is what happens to Alabama, Matt, right? I mean, what does Alabama look like? What's going to happen with Nick Saban's team? I mean, that has everything to do with how Auburn does against them. I mean, it's a two-part question. I mean, could he compete with Alabama? Yeah, because I think Alabama's going to tail off a little bit. I really do. Unless they can find the next great quarterback, somebody to replace Bryce Young.
Right. All right. So listen, let's do a quick little advance. Wait, before we do the advance, Georgia LSU, I want to talk about South Carolina. Can South Carolina, after that game last week against Tennessee, turn that over to this week against Clemson and win that game there?
No chance. I got the national anthem now, though, so you have to hold on.
All right. So what we're going to do is when Griff's done with the Griff, sure. By the way, who's a
good question? Though, I mean, South Carolina,
former Army man, former paratrooper. He's listening to the national anthem.
Yeah.
What I want to ask him is, South Carolina, with all they did last week against Tennessee, the way Spencer Rattler threw for 6 touchdown passes, didn't throw a pick, made some great plays, actually. Can they go into that Clemson pit?
But Clemson, they're still in the hunt, sort of.
They need help. And, they need help, number one. Number two, but South Carolina's healthy on the offensive line.
Yeah.
They've been more healthy than they've ever been. And I think if they can protect against that defensive line, which is really, really good at Clemson, I think they can go in there and win that game.
If I'm Dabo, though, I'm saying we need to show off, boys, because North Carolina didn't help us at all, taking another loss. We need to show off big time if we get into that one. Who's going to get that fourth spot? That one or the other one.
Yeah, and we've said this forever now. It's the playoff is as much a demolition derby as it is a pageant.
Yeah.
And you've got to, every time you go out there and play, you've got to not only look the part, but you've got to score the part. And if that means you've got to run it up, then guess what? You got to run it up.
It's also interesting today, two commissioners, I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek here, but two commissioners, the Big Ten commissioners sitting there hoping, man, I need Ohio State and Michigan to play a classic.
Right.
I don't care who wins.
Right.
He wants a classic. He doesn't want a 25-point win.
Right.
And the SEC commissioner, hey Kirby, look, man, you guys, it's a glorified scrimmage for you guys next Saturday. We need to LSU win that thing and maybe somehow miraculously get 2 in. Yeah.
All right, Griff, what are your thoughts on South Carolina and Clemson?
Yeah, I think it's all Clemson. I just think it's impossible to, you know, the raise your level play up 2 weeks in a row. Like, and I think Clemson's really good. I think their defense is really good. I think they're at home. They found their groove. They've got this college football playoff within sight. They just need TCU or USC to stumble, and I think they're the next man up, presuming that, you know, Ohio State beats Michigan today. I like Clemson a lot in that game.
All right, we know your game's starting real quick. So real quick, let's just say LSU finds a way and beats Georgia next week.
Wow.
Should LSU be in that playoff?
I mean, there's a lot of questions, right? So you'd have to ask, you know, how different is the Michigan-Ohio State game? Is that a blowout game? You know, is TCU still undefeated? Is USC still a one-loss team? Obviously, those two teams, if they went out, they're going to be – how close is the LSU Georgia game
right.
would be another factor. You know, right. if they eke by, I don't think so, you know. But guys, I mean, you know, you're asking me, like, what if a, you know, tsunami wave takes over Florida? I mean, LSU's not beating Georgia. I mean, so it's just like one of these scenarios, you know. Well, what if Florida goes undefeated next year? Do they keep Billy Napier? I mean, this is so out. I mean, it's, I understand why you got to ask the question, but it's just, you know, that's
you're
one of
sure
those.
Sure of this, huh?
You know,
you're like, absolutely sure of this.
It's like global warming, right? Like at some point, maybe that's going to happen, but I don't really think a lot about it right now. So I just don't. I don't think it's very likely. It's extremely unlikely, in fact. So, I mean, Georgia Tech's got a better chance of. I mean, making it. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. LSU's good, but you got to have a quarterback to beat Kirby Smart. You're not going to beat him with a running quarterback and no downfield vertical passing game. You're not going to do it. The Gators had a better chance of beating Georgia than LSU. The Gators were a better man. And they, in fact, they were within a score, if you remember that night. Florida played really well. That's what I'm telling you. If Anthony Richardson comes back, you just can't dismiss Florida. I just don't think that if Richardson comes back, this guy's special. Like, am I missing something? You guys know something I don't? I think he's amazing.
All right, bro. Go cover your game. Thanks, man. Right. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
All right, it's Mike Griffith, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation.
Mike Griffith,
you see him on the SEC Network. By the way, he was kidding. That was sarcasm. You guys know that, right?
Mike Griffith, the spokesperson for everybody on Florida's schedule next year. Right? Bring him back.
It's
says everybody on the Gator schedule next year, bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
The last drive started with 4 minutes and 6 seconds. And Trevor Etienne was not in the game.
How?
4 minutes and 6 seconds. Again, you don't even have to know his name. Yeah. Somebody someone on that staff had to have said, hey, coach, Seven's not in the game. Someone had to say that, right? Someone had to have said, hey, coach, Seven's hot.
And, you know,
maybe we should ride him a little bit.
I get one little plausible, okay, we were probably going to throw it a little bit. Here's a plausible maybe. Montrell Johnson is the bigger back for picking up protections. And okay, it's not against the rule to put Seven on the field along with two, right? Put him in the slot, put him split back.
Well, the problem is that means you got to get an accurate throw on a flare from your quarterback. Yeah. And the last time he threw a quick to the outside, he threw at the guy's ankle.
Yeah.
So that's a problem as well. And the circle route and the wheel route are not easy throws.
No.
Honestly, they're not easy throws. So you got to have a quarterback that can make those throws. So while I'm giving him grief for not putting both guys in the field, maybe he realized, well, he can't make that throw, which is a huge, huge red flag. All right, we need to go to break. We're going to come back with our Florida All-American Shannon Snell. We're going to talk Gators for a few minutes. Then we'll get deep into Michigan and Ohio State, which is beginning in about 5 or 6 minutes. It looks fantastic in the shoe right now. Come back on the other side. We'll get deep in hour number two.
Saturday kickoff brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue on 1010XL.
All right, Saturday kickoff here on 1010XL brought to you by our good friends at Bueller Air Conditioning and Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. It's the Ohio State fight song. It's Michigan, Ohio State. They've just kicked off opening kick. Ohio State returner got injured. So I want to go back real quick to last year's game, okay? The most significant fallout from Michigan finally breaking through last season against Ohio State went way beyond the playing field. Michigan, of course, eventually won the Big Ten, advanced to playoff, and got pounded by Georgia. But the underlying narrative was seen by none other than Wolverines coach Jim Harbaugh. It's easy to walk in cold and bake the cake when you're not missing ingredients. In other words, his statement of some people are born on third base and act like they hit a triple was aimed directly at Ryan Day. Directly at Ryan Day, who inherited a championship-ready program from Urban Meyer right down to, I'm sure you guys remember this, the changing of the whistle ceremony in the locker room after a Rose Bowl win over Washington in 2018. While, of course, Harbaugh had to grind for years rebuilding, restructuring a program that was left in the ditch by Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke. Now, look, the ready-made program stuff probably lasts 1 year, all right? and it's more than likely, I will say definitely hyperbole, the whole Harbaugh, you know, yeah. Some people are born on third base, because Day has just been unbelievable at Ohio State. Unbelievable. 45-4 record, 31-1 in the Big Ten. But they haven't won a national title under him. The annual goal of everything scarlet and gray. He's 2-1 against Michigan. He's 2-0 in the Big Ten championship game, and he's 1-2 in the playoff. He has the most talented offense in the nation and a defense that has been bad the last few years. They've got Jim Knowles, the former Oklahoma State defensive coordinator. They're improved this year, but they're not that good. He's got Michigan at home. He can lock up a playoff spot with a win. It's all in front of Ohio State to find a way to the national championship game, where they'll likely be pounded by Georgia, by the way, and take the final step under Ryan Day, okay? Unless, of course, they lose to Michigan. Then maybe he really is stuck on third base. Huh?
Yeah.
At that point, if Michigan comes in and wins this game, Ohio State's 7.5-point favorite, which is a big number in this game. That's a big number. If Michigan comes in there and wins that game with, oh, by the way, yeah. Their own five-star quarterback now, J.J. McCarthy, who has changed the way they do things offensively there, he's now a danger with his legs. Yeah. Which they didn't have last year with Cade McNamara. Michigan goes in there and wins that game. I don't think he's under any kind of like win or you're gone kind of thing, but no. There will be some upset people at Ohio State with the fact that it'll be 2 in a row to Michigan, and once again, they won't have reached their goals.
See, you hit it right there. The last thing Ryan Day needs, and he hasn't been in that spot that long, is to be the first guy in a long time to be on a losing streak to Michigan. And a big run here by Ohio State. They've taken the opening kickoff. Last year's Michigan win, though, was good for the Big Ten. They needed that, didn't they? They needed Michigan to win that. If this played out like the perfect scenario for the Big Ten today is this game plays out like, what was it, 06 when they played that 40? Yeah, 06. 41-39, classic.
When they all thought that both teams should be in the BCS National Championship.
And Florida
game.
Edged out Michigan.
And then Florida won by 34.
Yeah, Florida won by 34. But isn't that what they want?
The first of many SEC beatdowns. That championship. Right.
But that's the Big Ten's dream today, would be one of those classic games. They go back and forth. It's a close game. Corum has a huge day. Stroud has a huge day. They both go to New York. I mean, that's the perfect day in the sunshine at Columbus.
It is, but I will tell you this. If Ohio State wins that perfect day that you're talking about, I don't think Michigan can get in.
You don't think so? Okay.
Because they're
even if it's a classic.
Yeah, they haven't played anyone. Yeah. Their non-conference schedule is Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Yeah.
And their best win is Penn State. No offense, Rob. Penn State is going to win 10 games, but Penn State's winning 10 games because guess what? They're playing
10.
The same slop that Ohio
it's
State and Michigan are playing.
It's a quiet 10, yeah.
So I think it's going to be hard for Michigan. It'll be easier for Ohio State. Not easier. It's going to be difficult for them, too. Like, if Michigan wins, Michigan's obviously in. But are you going to take Ohio State, if you're the committee, when they lost at home to Michigan, when your big thing is they beat Notre Dame in the season opener? All right? And Notre Dame's going to lose to USC today. So Notre Dame will have four losses,
right? Yeah.
Right? So your whole deal is, okay, they beat a four-loss Notre Dame team in Penn State, who beat up on the same slop that you beat up on in the Big Ten. I don't know that if Ohio State loses that they're in automatically. I really don't. Well, they're definitely not in if TCU and USC win.
Wow.
They're definitely not in.
Yeah.
Then it'll just be Georgia and the other three.
Yeah.
So, well, I agree with you. That's what they want.
Yeah.
The Big Ten wants that. I think.
And then chaos.
If to get both teams in, they're probably better off if Michigan wins a classic game.
Probably. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because Michigan. Yes. The resume, slightly better Ohio State than Michigan, even with the loss. And Ohio State, by the way, going straight
right down
the field.
Straight
down the field. Staying in the potential playoff teams, what was it, only like 3 weeks ago? Everybody said, man, Tennessee's got it, – it's sitting in Tennessee's hand. Boy, is it sitting in TCU's hand now. They're the new Tennessee. It is sitting in TCU's hand right now,
so,
isn't it?
It's almost like West Virginia and Missouri in 2007, where literally all they got to do is win their championship games and they're both in.
And you know,
and they both gagged.
SC's got a tough route.
They got to beat Notre Dame, then they probably have to beat Oregon.
Yeah, those are tough, but boy, TCU, it's sitting right there.
You got to win at home against Iowa State today, which I expect them to do.
Yeah.
And then you got to win the Big 12 championship game, which is probably going to be against Kansas State.
Yeah.
Unless Kansas upsets Kansas State, then it will be Texas.
Do you think Iowa State stands a chance against TCU at all?
None. And then so that could be a little testy game in the Big 12 championship game, but that's a winnable game. So we're coming into this season now, okay, as the second goal for Ohio State inside the five. Coming into this weekend, there's legitimately seven candidates that could get to the playoff, okay, and one outlier. So the seven are Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, LSU, USC, and Clemson, and the outlier, heaven help us all, is Alabama.
Alabama, right, yeah.
All right? And I say that with all the love in my heart, Tide fans, okay? So here's the most safest move this weekend, that the games today can lock up two of the four spots. Georgia beats Georgia Tech, they're in.
They're in.
I don't care what happens in the SEC championship game, they're in. If Ohio State beats Michigan, they're in, no matter what happens in the Big Ten championship game. So that's probably the two easiest scenarios right now for just this weekend, all right? That's going to leave six teams for two spots.
Oh, my.
And things could be very simple in a third scenario if chalk plays out. If TCU beats Iowa State and then beats, as Ohio State just scored, Ekbuga from C.J. Stroud,
yeah.
7-0 or 6-0 with the extra point. So if in this third scenario, if TCU beats Iowa State, then beats Kansas State or Texas in the Big 12 championship game, they're in. Then that leaves one spot for one team. One spot. The easy answer, again, is USC. You beat Notre Dame, you beat Oregon. I don't think that's happening. I think they're losing one of those two games.
That's a tough two right there.
So, not only that, I'm not sure they're in even if they do that, okay? They still need some help,
yeah.
I think. Because the big question is, how much weight would the playoff committee give to an LSU upset over Georgia? And how much negative would be tied to two losses to ranked teams, FSU and Tennessee, at home by 21, ahead of wins over three ranked teams, yep. Ole Miss, Alabama, and Georgia, including two teams in the current top six or seven and the number one overall. Yep. So LSU win more than likely would need to be like a 30-13, like a convincing win, not a last-second throw. Last-second throw is not going to do it. To push the committee to selecting them over one loss USC or one loss Clemson for that matter. I would think they're going to get by one loss Clemson, but one loss USC is going to be the difficult one. Now, this is what you have to remember, and I want to talk about this. I want to get your thoughts on this. The committee was designed with this in mind. This playoff was designed with this in mind. If a team gets hot and is playing better, as well or better than any other in the nation, that can be a significant metric in the decision, right? Especially if they've won the best conference in college football. So they might have two losses, but they've won the best conference. They beat the number one team soundly in the championship game. That has to account for something, okay? And as for our dear friends from Alabama, check back late tonight. Because if you're still in it, that means the season has officially hit bat crazy.
Yeah, yeah, really is. Now, keep in mind, obviously, you're talking about the purple and the gold, LSU.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. They're the only team that's ever won it all with two losses. They had that wacky year several years ago.
2007, when West Virginia, Missouri had it right in front of them. Yeah.
And they lost a couple games late in the year and didn't win the conference or what.
They lost to Arkansas in the last regular season game of the year.
How about that?
Not only that, if you remember this, the day of the championship game, the rumors came. Kirk Herbstreit said that Michigan was going to hire Les Miles. Remember the damn fine football team?
He holds
a press conference prior to the SEC championship and says he's not going to Michigan. Of course, there was all the conspiracy theories that Herbstreit did that on purpose so Ohio State could get in the game. And
He was great, though. Wasn't he great, Les Miles?
But that's what this is for. What the playoff was made. The actual idea of the playoff was made
for you're saying,
if somebody gets hot, they struggled early in the season or had a bad loss or two early in the season, but they are among the best four teams. Remember, it's the best four teams. It's not the four conference champions. It's the best four teams.
So using that criteria, it also matters. Clemson, let me back up. Clemson played Florida State this year.
Right.
Using that criteria.
Good win. Top 15 win.
And Clemson beat them.
Yeah.
But it would have helped if they were playing Florida State 16 going into last night. They're going to creep up.
Right.
It would have been better if Clemson, they're going to play them anyway, played them this week and FSU's sitting 12 and you get a win than when Clemson beat them 4 or 5 weeks ago.
That's why the divisions.
Even that plays in, right? When you play
yes,
them.
That's why the divisions other than the SEC are dumb. Yeah. Because the SEC has its history, and every year, every year they're great, and every year the championship game is a de facto quarterfinal into the championship game, in the playoff, I mean. So for the other conferences, like if the ACC played this season and they thought about it as one division, then you could have that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have Clemson playing Florida State. Or I guess it would be NC State because NC State beat North Carolina last night.
Yeah.
And that would have moved them.
But it is odd that using that criteria, man, you want to, if they're on your schedule no matter what, you want to play them when they got the highest number next to their name.
Right.
Ranking number.
Which is why the Pac-12 went to one division.
Yeah,
which is why they all will go to one division eventually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. We need to go to break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to get a little bit more into this playoff talk, as well as we're going to let you know what's going on Michigan, Ohio State. It's 7-0 Ohio State right now. Michigan's got the ball, 1st and 10. Come back on the other side. It's Saturday kickoff. Bueller Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue.
Game day underway.
The Bueller Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff on 1010XL brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue.
All right, we're back on the Saturday kickoff, and a little bad news in the Michigan Ohio State game. Blake Corum does not look like he's going to make it.
Oh.
He first run of the day, he did a little hop step, and you could see his knee was not stable.
He like got a little twisted in that tackle.
It's not stable. I don't think he's going to play again. Donovan Edwards is in right now. Michigan's driving because of J.J. McCarthy. I mean, his off-schedule stuff is
making
ridiculous.
Making the plays,
He's making plays off-schedule and throwing balls. They've got a 2nd and 20 at the 34. We'll see what happens here. That's too bad. I really like Blake Corum. Would have been nice.
Ohio State 7-0.
Ohio State is 7-0. 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. All right. We need to get to the picks. We've got Austin on the line who wants to get after it and try and win this
sweet
Sonny swag back from us.
Let's go, Austin.
All right. Good afternoon,
A-game,
Austin.
A-game, baby. A-game.
All right, what do we got, Rob? First game.
All right, first game, Louisville at Kentucky. Kentucky favorite here, guys. 3 points, Maddie. What are you thinking?
I know Mark Stoops just got a brand new extension, but I also know Kentucky can't block anybody, and I also know that Louisville's won 4 of the last 5. They're hot. I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road getting the points.
Austin, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to go Louisville as well. Kentucky's been struggling. I think they can cover the 3. I'm taking Louisville.
Louisville has had a quiet comeback second half of the season. Yeah. They really have. Malik Cunningham, I think, is there for year number 8.
Yeah.
I think Mark Stoops is going to stir that team up somehow, some way after that embarrassment. Give me Kentucky. I'll go
like
get
that.
You guys.
I like that.
Ooh, I'm going Louisville on this one. Auburn at Bama, guys, the Iron Bowl. Bama favored by 22 points in this game. What are we thinking?
All right. I just want to say this real quick. Austin, all you got to do is beat me or Terry, either one of us, okay? Either one of us, and you win, because literally everyone else is 0 for the season. All right, we've got Auburn getting 22.
22, Matt.
See, here's the thing. I don't know how much Alabama cares about the rest of the season. I know they've got a strange chance, a hope of something happening in the next, you know, week, 2 weeks. I don't know how much they're into it. I don't know how much that staff is into it, because a lot of them could be gone. Mm-hmm. 22 points is a
they
lot of points
gone.
In a rivalry game. Having said all of that, I'm taking Alabama in lane 22.
Austin.
Also, what you got, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn-Alabama, always a big game. Alabama, probably not going to get back into it, but I'm taking them to cover the spread. I think they'll win by 22.
I know Alabama's losses have been very, very close, but, man, this season just seems heavy. It's been heavy all year on Alabama. Right. It's just been heavy, if that makes any sense. Alabama wins the game. I'll take Auburn in all those points. Maybe a late score to bring it down to 18 or 19.
You know what? If we're really being intellectually honest, when we say this game, just for this game, when we say Alabama, it's got to be Alabama.
Alabama.
All right,
Iron Bowl in Birmingham.
What do we got, dude? What do we got?
I'm going in Roll Tide. LSU at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, 10.5-point underdogs in this one. Maddie, what are you thinking, buddy?
It's clear skies there, no rain. Connor Wigman's a good quarterback. I think if Jimbo can get a good offense coordinator play caller in there next year, I think they got a chance to surge back, because he's got talent there. He's got to just let go
of the
play caller.
Are you trying to talk yourself into something?
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, Connor Wigman's a good quarterback. I think LSU's going to cover. I think they're going to cover, but I like Connor Wigman moving forward for them.
Awesome. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to take LSU here, too. I think it'll definitely be a good game. I just don't see Texas A&M covering 10.5. If it was a little higher, I might take it, but
I'm going LSU.
Although the hook is definitely dangerous. The hook is dangerous. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of seasons being heavy on shoulders of players and programs, it has been a heavy one at A&M. Give me LSU. Boy, they feel good. They're strutting into the SEC championship game next week. I think LSU wins and covers.
So much on the line. Mm-hmm. So much on the line for LSU. They can't afford to play poorly. What do you got, Rob?
Let's go, Jimbo. All right, here we go, guys. The fun one of the day. Notre Dame. Whoa, no, excuse me. I apologize. Tennessee at Vandy, guys. What are you thinking? No Hendon Hooker.
What's the line?
We are looking at plus 14 Vandy. Vandy underdogs. 14 points.
Only 14?
That's what I said.
So here's the thing with Tennessee and Vandy. I mean, Tennessee's a better team. Tennessee could probably just run the ball and beat them.
What?
But, man, Joe Milton has one throw as far as he can.
And hard.
He doesn't have anything else. So, I mean, if I'm Vandy, I'm literally putting 8-9 guys in the box and saying, beat me, Joe Milton. 14 points?
That's what I said.
I'll take the points in Vandy.
Awesome. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Tennessee, after their game last week against South Carolina, I mean, I think they're going to bounce back. I think they'll probably cover it. I don't think Vandy will cover the plus 14 here.
How about we're sitting here late in the season and Vandy's trying to get their third conference win.
To get bowl eligible.
That is amazing.
That's another thing, too.
I think Vandy plays their tail off.
Yeah, they're home, could get bowl eligible, yeah.
Give me Vandy and the points. Tennessee will win the damn thing, but Vandy's going to play their tail off.
I actually think Vandy might win the thing outright.
They
seriously.
Might. Seriously.
Yeah. I'm going Vandy with the win on that one, guys. Okay, now Notre Dame at USC. 4.5-point favorites for USC, the condoms. What are we thinking, fellas?
Well, as Michigan just nails a 49-yard field goal to 7-3 Ohio State. Here's the thing with USC. It can't play a lick of defense, man. It cannot play a lick of defense. I just don't think Ohio State can do enough to go score for score with them. So I'm going to lay the points and take USC.
Austin, what are you thinking, pal?
Yeah, I'm going to go USC here, too. 4.5, you know, USC's been creeping back, moving up. Who knows, maybe they'll end up sneaking in, and it's at home. I'm taking USC.
Should be a big, rare, large crowd out there and pretty boisterous, and I'm going to go with the guys. I think USC at the end will score enough to cover it.
All right, Austin, good luck, brother. Hope you win it.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
man.
It.
So, here's the thing I want to make very clear here before we go another break and we wrap it up on the other side. We've been, like, breaking down the postmortem of Florida. I mean, let's not lose fact of the site that Mike Norvell's done a hell of a job.
And they needed that win.
At Florida State.
That win last night.
That was their statement.
That would have been a bad, bad program loss for FSU.
He's done a job. Look, Jimbo left that place in a mess. That's number one. And I've told the story numerous times from someone deep in that administration that told me this story, that, you know, players, they go online to do stuff. A lot of stuff's online because it's easier because their schedule is so hectic. So they'll go online and take tests and do classwork. And those players under Jimbo, they weren't even signing in. All you got to do is sign in and go online and do it, okay? And you sign in, this is the work, and oh, by the way, Google's your friend too, okay? They weren't even signing in. That's how bad academics got there. So then Willie gets there, and he's trying to fix that up.
Yeah.
And I can still remember sitting in the office with Willie, right at his big oak table, and he's looking at me. He's looking at me saying, these guys think they're not going to class? The hell they're not going to class. That's number one thing. And he's dead serious. That's who Willie is. So he's trying to fix that. He's got a mess on the sidelines because he's got a staff that doesn't like each other.
Yeah.
So they're playing horribly. Then he gets to, you know, he's not even through his first 2 years and they're screaming, he's got to go, he's got to go, he's got to go. This is what Mike Norvell walks into, man. This is, they win four games, including an upset of LSU. They're feeling good about themselves. Yeah. The new Noles, here we go. They lose three in a row. Three games of significance.
Yeah.
Clemson, Wake Forest, NC State. Now all of a sudden, if you're Florida State, you're thinking, we might suck again. I mean, we've lost to three most significant teams in our conference.
Yeah.
And then they go out and they make this great run. And now I'm telling you right now, they will beat some middling Big Ten team in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and they will get 10 wins. And if I told you before the season they were going to win 10 games, you'd have looked at me like I was an idiot.
How different is it if LSU makes that extra point and they pull it out? LSU had turned that game. How different is the world? Right out of the gate, he gets another heartbreaking loss. Mike Norvell. What if LSU had made the kick?
Well,
they were going to win going in overtime, right?
Right, right. I don't know how much it changes the season. Ooh. Certainly that game was big for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if one win.
Here we go again, kind of lost.
It could have been. I mean, if one win changes your season, you've got a lot more problems.
Who would you want to see Florida State play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, as you're claiming?
Bowl games don't matter anymore.
I mean, it depends. I mean, if Purdue beats Indiana, they're in the championship game. They're not going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. If Indiana beats Purdue, it might be Purdue, which would be a fun little game because Purdue throws it all over the place. It'd be a fun game.
I agree.
Illinois would be a boring game.
Horribly
boring game. I don't know. Iowa would be a terribly boring game.
I like the Florida State Purdue idea. That's a good game.
I mean, I think. I don't know. Minnesota, maybe?
No.
Nice conference.
All right.
It's the West. They're terrible.
We need to go to break, then we'll come back and finish this thing up. It's the Saturday kickoff brought to you by Bueller Air Conditioning and Sonny Barbecue. Wait, we're not going to break? We're going through to the end? Is that what you're telling me?
Let's just keep going, man. We're doing fine.
All right.
That's our third time out. The Florida sideline is out of timeout.
I'm a little concerned by this decision.
Absolutely not. No, sir.
My goodness.
I'm a little concerned by this decision by what, you know.
Literally just said in your ear 5 minutes.
I think you guys should have gone to
commercial. 1 minute and a half.
All right. So let's get into some coaching stuff. So Deion Sanders has been, according to sources, offered the Colorado job. I'm going to circle back to that 1 second. The Auburn job. Lane Kiffin came out earlier about 11 o'clock. My good buddy Chris Lowe at ESPN reported that Lane Kiffin is staying at Ole Miss. And here's the best part. Lane Kiffin actually told his players after the game that he was staying, not before, because he said he didn't want it to be about him.
Okay.
He just wanted it. He just wanted them to just focus on the game. They lost the game, obviously, but he wanted it to be about them. Told them after the game he was staying. Now Auburn is looking at Hugh Freeze, who, of course, was the former Ole Miss coach before he was fired for a couple of things. Interestingly, was not fired because he was paying players at Ole Miss. He was fired because he was doing a little footsie with massage therapists on the Ole Miss University phone. That's what they said. And lying. You know, he's lying. Wasn't truthful, Hugh Freeze. So, Hugh Freeze goes to Liberty, has a great 4 or 5 years at Liberty. They've done really good things there. Now he's back. He's rehabbed. And now it looks like he's the guy at Auburn. Now, Deion, this is my question to you, Terry.
Deion.
And I wrote about this a couple weeks ago in Saturday Down South that I thought Auburn should hire Deion, and I'll tell you why. The game now is about recruiting, procuring players, and developing players. Deion's got a bunch of former NFL players on his staff at Jackson State. They're like 25-3 in 28 career games at Jackson State. He's done an unbelievable job there. They were terrible when he got there. Now, they're not in the FCS playoff because the Celebration Bowl is much more important to them than playing in the FCS playoffs. So I think Auburn should have hired him because not only is it recruiting and players, it's development, but it's also, listen to this now, I think what Deion could have done in the SEC as Deion Sanders, as the huge personality he is and the biggest conference in the SEC, he could have changed the way college football works. He could have literally convinced the SEC presidents, hey, this is what we need to do. Every year, of our millions upon billions of dollars that we get in our media rights,
right,
we should give 1%, 2%, 3% to HBCUs.
Okay.
They should get them to help support their programs and make sure they stay afloat. We should give 3% of our media rights deal to HBCUs. Imagine if the SEC did that, what the other four power conferences would do.
Yeah.
They'd follow.
Have to. Yeah.
Not even a question. They'd have to follow. Now, can he do that at Colorado? I don't know. I think it would be interesting. I'd like to see it, but Colorado is a graveyard right now, and I don't know if I was him, I don't know that I would
take
that.
That's just leverage, right? That's just getting his name out there. That would be a terrible fit.
Ugh.
Deion's panache. Deion is national. He's prime time. His panache is the South.
It is
the South. That's where he can do his.
He also panache, needs to be. Word. He also needs to be in a high profile position.
Yes. Colorado.
Because
he's
gonna get lost there, man.
Yes, he will.
He needs to be at a position where everybody's watching this team, this conference, every single week. Everybody's watching this team, this conference from Sunday through Friday, too, not just Saturday.
The spinoff there, and I know we're at a break, the spinoff for me is not just the Deion talk. Has Lane Kiffin finally decided to drop anchor now? If he doesn't take Auburn from Ole Miss, I mean, what else does he want waiting? I mean, Auburn's a big boy job. He's already in the West. Are we going to look up and see Lane Kiffin staying at a place for 7, 8, 9 years
well,
now?
Well, I can tell you something. If things aren't changing pretty soon, you might see look up and see Lane Kiffin in Gainesville. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to a break.
Let's go to a break here. That's a drive-by.
Finish up the Saturday kickoff. Bueller Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff. Brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue.
Getting game day underway.
The Bueller Air Conditioning Saturday kickoff on 1010XL. Brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue.
All right, we're back on Saturday kickoff. Remember, 3 o'clock pregame for the Iron Bowl. Alabama and Auburn. We'll cover that game here right on 1010XL on the AM. 92.5 on the FM. Following that game, we've got LSU and Texas A&M. We got a few seconds left. It's 10-3 Ohio State. No Blake Corum. What do you like in this game, man?
Yeah, Blake Corum's teammates are patting him on the shoulder pads, no helmet, so he's done. Michigan's just got to keep answering. Just keep answering. Obviously, the underdog going in, and they've lost their star player against a good Ohio State team on the road.
They're gonna need a huge game from J.J. McCarthy.
Yes.
Huge game. And they're struggling right now offensively. All right, we need to wrap this thing up. Next week we are on 11-1 regular time. It's championship week next week, so get ready.
Nice.
Strap it in. We'll come at you next week. All right, we appreciate you coming. For Terry Norvell, for Rob, our esteemed producer, I'm Matt Hayes. It's a Saturday kickoff. We will see you next week.
And I'll take esteemed.